have them, we consider God given opportunity to assemble together and to worship the Lord. We enjoyed the good songs that have been sang. Appreciate Brother Carroll leading us, Sister Jones playing piano for us. Good to be able to be here and look out over this number and see visitors and church members alike. I know the church welcomes the visitors. Feel free to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
We certainly have been blessed with some wonderful meetings. The Lord has met with us. It's going to be good years to come, days to come. Yeah. Think about the blessings which have been enjoyed. But as we all know, we must press on. The Lord, when He was up on the mountain with the brethren there, and what was revealed there on that mountain, sometimes in the scriptures referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration, realized that Moses and Elijah were shown there with the Lord. Apostle Peter, I believe, was the one who was doing the talking on that occasion. That's his M.O. where he was present, he was talking. Seemed like some brethren that I still around sometimes when they're present, they're talking. I wouldn't know anything about that. But anyway, there on that occasion, what the brethren said was, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Good for us to be here up on the mountain. The Lord said, let's go back down the mountain. Time to go back down in the valley. That's where the troubles are at. That's where the Lord's needed. And as He did on that occasion, He led the way. He's still leading the way. And I hope and pray that we're willing to follow Him. If we're going to follow Him, we're going to need this book.
Yeah.
All of it. And this book is going to be the way we identify, make sure that we're following the right spirit, that we're following the Comforter, we're following the Lord and the leadership of the Spirit. Because something that we can guarantee is where that there's good things happening, where the Lord's blessed, you can guarantee the devil's going to show up.
Amen.
We might take a reading lesson today out of the 8th chapter of Luke, and with the help of the Lord, just try to consider some points that seem like have been impressed upon our heart. I hope that you'll pray, Lord help us, that we might all consider these points. And might be something brought out that would be helpful to us. We've thought about how that just as in different times when that the work of the Lord has gone forth, how that the devil has went forth to try to stir up contention, stir up opposition. Just as an example, I'll flip to it and just catch it just quickly. Where that the apostle Paul and Barnabas had been sent out, they'd been separated to the work. They'd been ordained, and it's just as soon as they were sent out, as they had started to share the gospel, there was at just about the first place where they stopped to preach, there was one who stood to oppose them. And the apostle Paul identified this one, and he said, being filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? My point is this. Just as soon as they went out, as soon as they were engaged in the work, as soon as they were willing to follow the Lord and go forth, right there the devil, he made sure he had somebody right there to oppose and right there to try to confuse the work. Now the devil's not changed. It's not changed a bit.
That's right.
And so I hope that we'll not be afraid, but that rather we would be concerned enough that we want to continue on and serve the Lord, knowing that the adversary is going to be there, but greater is He who is in us than he who's in the world. So that we would be sure that we were careful not to be distracted, but to just hang on to the Lord and follow Him. Reading out of Luke chapter 8, we'll start with verse 26. And if y'all pray for us, we find here in the 26th verse, the word of the Lord says they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, and which is over against Galilee. When he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled. Went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they also which saw told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from him, from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee.
Amen.
And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great thing Jesus had done unto him.
Lord,
and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. The mistakes we may have made, this gives us a reading lesson out of the book of Luke. We've read from verse 26 down through verse 40. Now, as we read this, I notice that it's a fact. Something that we sometimes too quickly forget, but it's a fact that God is present in the world, but also the devil's present in the world.
Right.
All the days of our lives on the earth, we're going to be in the presence where that there's both God and the devil.
Yeah.
We're going to live where God is and where the devil is. All the days of our lives, these two are going to be present. Now, when we die, it's a fact that we're going to go to where one or the other is.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
In death, we're going to be separated from one of those.
Yeah, right.
Now, those of us who've been saved, we're going to die and we're going to go to where God is, and we're not going to be ever confronted by the devil again.
Right.
Those of you who are not saved, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to where the devil is, and you're never going to have to be confronted with God again.
Right.
When we read the scriptures, we find that the power that the devil has, that he's able to affect us. And as he affects us, the degree, the extent to which that he affects us comes down to just how willing we are to go along with him. In the scriptures here, we read of an individual. We find that he is deeply under the influence of the devil. I think about in the scriptures such places as over in the book of Ephesians, and I'm, brothers and sisters, I'm visitors, everybody alike, the only way I know how to do this is just to jump right in. And the easiest way for a spade to see themselves as a spade is to call a spade a spade. There may be things I touch on here that you've never heard before. Write it down. Consider it. And God help that what's brought forth, that it'll be brought with power from God. Because I know there's going to be things that might be touched on here that you've just never considered. But consider it or not, it doesn't make it untrue just because you hadn't thought about it. The scriptures say over in Ephesians and in chapter 2, and we'll start reading, we'll think about here in Ephesians chapter 2, where Ephesians 2 and verse 1 it says, "And you hath he quickened," church at Ephesus, "you hath he quickened who were past time, dead in your trespasses and in your sins, wherein in time past ye," you who are now church members, "wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." That is, on that track that the world was on. And at that time you were children of disobedience. That is, at that time you were those who the spirit of the prince of the power of the air worked in you at that time. Now I'm explaining what that verse says, because it says you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the way it's written. But what it's saying is this. It's tied together that those who that are dead in trespasses and in sins, that where they're at is that they're walking. That there, many times we bring out and it comes to our heart how that the world is on the broad way. And that broad way is leading to destruction. And we think about how that Broadway leading to destruction, that it is tied to the world, or what the Bible refers to as being out in the world. And this being in the world, caught up in the world, is a place of influence. There's a place there that's influence. That it's a way of living. It's a way of going forth through your life where that the devil is working, striving to hold captive men and women. And he has many devices he uses to do that. That verse says, "Wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works, that now works, actively, right now working in the children of disobedience."
Right.
How do you feel about that, knowing that you have aligned yourself with the devil?
That's right.
You're going along with him. The scripture tells us over in Romans and in chapter 6, speaking of this servitude, or speaking of servitude unto the devil, says this. He says, "Know ye not," verse 16, "that to whom ye yield." Right. See there, that means you go along. If you yield, that means you're cooperating with, you're going along with.
Yep.
"To whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey." Don't you know that? Who you yield yourself to obey, his servants you are. You know what that word servant means? It means slave. It means slave. The Apostle Peter, he mentions this, talking about this servitude, when he says over in 2 Peter and in chapter 2, he says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh." That's the world. That ties into several verses. "They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. That is, while the world and while the influence in the world says, come along this way. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was at this place. It just comes to mind. It doesn't matter where I was at. But they have this little thing when you come up to the cash register and you bring whatever it is that you are to buy. And they'll say, do you have one of these cards? And if you say no, they say, would you like one? And you say, no, I wouldn't care for one. Well, if you got one, you could do this. Then they start the sales pitch. Well, you'd be able to, they're alluring you. They're trying to entice you in to tell you why that it would benefit you. And in the world, there are all these things that's used constantly to allure, to bait along. Well, why is it that people want to go out and you see these scenes on the lake and people are out? Yeah, I'm sorry, meddling again, but I must. You get out on the lake and here they are having a big time out on the boat and they're dashing through and all of these things are going on. And right there is where you got to have just a whole bucket full of beer to go along with that, or that's not going to be fun at all. Or out at the ball game and here are these commercials showing alluring and thinking this is what a good time is tied to. Or you don't look right unless you got to dress this way. And I want to say this, brother. That man that we read about, that Gadarene, he was unclothed while he was under the influence of the devil. But after the Lord got a hold of him, he was clothed. Amen. In his right mind. You know, I wonder who entices us to go along. You think the devil gets involved in those kind of things as well? Absolutely he does. Absolutely he does. So when we think about this one here, how far had he gone along before that he was known as Legion? How far had he allowed himself to be enticed? What did he start off with? You know, the devil, when he comes to us, he starts with just a little sin. And parents, shame on us. Shame on us. If we think that this has even got a bit of sense to it at all. It's good to let my kid have a beer. They need to sample that and know what it is. You know, I just wonder if it was cancer, if it would be all right to just let your kid sample a little cancer. Yeah, just a little cancer. You need to sample what it is if the theory's there. Sin will be our ruin. Right. Well, they need to go out and meddle and have some of these little things because they need to sample some of that. That's the devil.
Yeah, right.
That's the way the devil approached Eve.
Amen.
Just have a bite of this. Sample this knowledge.
Yeah.
Sample this. And what he's doing is he's taking on his character of the liar and the father of it.
Yeah, right.
You know, here it is. We're going to be all of our lives. We've got God and we've got the devil. Both trying to influence. Now let's just think about this. Now the devil, he is known as the destroyer. He is known as the accuser. He is known as the slanderer. He is a liar and the father of it. From the beginning, he has shown what he thinks about man. He led Eve into deception, and so that Adam sinned, and all of mankind was sold under sin. There's his history. He knows what sin is. He knows that sin ruins us. You follow the devil, you listen to the devil long enough, he is not satisfied with a little sin in your life.
Right.
He would have you go on from, he would have you to try a beer because you need to relax on the Friday and you've had a long week. And then the ball game's coming up and a couple of beers with a few friends would go a lot longer. And then if you really need to relax, add a few pills with that. And then that's no longer enough to really help you to relax. You need to try something
that you, if you go far enough and far enough and far enough, you try it one time and you'll be addicted for the rest of your life. And before you know it, you will sell your home. You will start stealing. You will go into crime. You might even turn into selling those things. And before long, you have ruined everything to where even your family don't even want to see you. But it was just one beer on a Friday at the end of the evening. You say, I never have done that. What about your kids? What about your kids? You've got liberty. Let me tell you what God says about this, brothers and sisters. We are so prideful. We are so prideful. Knowledge is good, but knowledge puffeth up.
Right. Yeah.
Knowledge makes proud. Will you take your knowledge, the liberty which God has given us in knowledge, and through that knowledge, will you destroy those around you? Will you take that liberty? And God says this. Let's just flip over here and get some of this. This comes to our mind. It must fit in. Over in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 8. And now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffereth up, but charity edifieth. Now, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knows nothing yet, as he ought to know. He knows nothing. Paul goes on and says this. I have knowledge, and I know that all the world is God's. I know this. This is certain. He says, but this. He says, if I take that liberty and I realize that everything is made of God, everything is God's, it's all in God's possession, and I am free before God because these things out here, they mean nothing to me. I'm going to stick with the beer. I can have one, and it does not change my relationship with God because regardless of what comes along, I still am going to serve God. But what about the others around us?
Yeah.
What about those? Paul says, but now let's take a weak brother who sees me in the temple eating meat to an idol. And he sees me, but I've got knowledge and I understand what I'm doing. But they're just starting along. They're just coming along.
Amen.
They're just getting started. But they think because they have confidence in me, and they see me doing that, they think there must be something to this, and they go into it without the knowledge. And by that way, they give the devil an entrance, and they stray from God.
Right.
And who was it? Who was it that encouraged them to do that in the first place? You, through your knowledge. And why? Because you were prideful and only thinking about yourself. And because you were only thinking about yourself, you let others, maybe not intentionally, but because of pride, because of your own pride, you allowed others to go off into that. Make no. Please, don't allow this to be confused. The devil is behind that, cheering you on the whole way. The devil is the king of all the children of pride. Young preachers, churches are taught, do not ordain young preachers. That doesn't mean someone could be 70 years old and be a young preacher. That means inexperienced. Do not ordain them lest, falling into pride, they come into the condemnation of the devil. You learn something about where you set a young preacher up for. At the same time, you learn something about what condemned the devil. Pride. I wonder where this man started at. This Gadarene. This man at Gadarene. I wonder where he started. I wonder if he started when we start reading the scriptures, we go back and we think about the devil. We think about how that at the beginning, that he was a creature. God created this one as an angel. This one who we read about over in Ezekiel 28 and over in Isaiah 14. He was a cherub. That is, he walked just right in the presence of God when you read about the angelic host in the Bible. There are some of the angelic host who have a special closeness to God. In this one, we read that he was perfect in the day of his creation, perfect in beauty, perfect in appearance. The ability, the sounds, it speaks of his tabrets and his pipes, that is the ability to use music, that his wisdom was absolutely perfect as God created him with that. His wisdom is such that we're told in the Bible that none of us can hide anything from him. There's not a man, a woman, can hide anything from the devil. He knows. He knows your weakness. He knows where to get to you. He knows the angles. He knows what's going to be your pride point. He knows. And let me tell you something. When God comes along, we know that those who are in darkness and love these things of darkness, they hate the light.
Yeah.
Hate, that's a passion. That's a strong, burning passion. So when that the light comes along and reproves those things of darkness, if the devil, if you have been going along with your old friend the devil long enough, when that light comes around and gets thrown open on that thing that you love, you'll hate it. You might even get mad and go to the house. You might even despise that it wasn't actually, you fail to recognize that it was the truth that was coming to you, and you think you just blame the preacher. I'm just the messenger. The word that's brought out, that is God's word.
Amen.
What are you going to do? The message is sent. The message is sent. The message is sent by the messenger, but the source of the message cometh. What are you going to do then? Will you be with those who say, let the mountains fall on us? Let the mountains fall on us and cover us from the face of him that cometh. Will you be in that crowd? Will you realize when he comes and that last trumpet sounds, the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. There's
right.
Nothing to hide. There's nothing to hide behind. Because, brothers and sisters, lost friend, we're dealing with Creator God after all. We're dealing on the other hand with he, this is God, who stepped out on nothingness. Stepped out when there was nothing. And with the pronouncements of his own mouth, he said, let there be light.
Amen.
And out of absolutely nothing, things came together and started forming and taking shape.
Amen.
Creator God, taking that which was absolutely nothing and bringing into existence form and fashion, and then designing it and putting it together. And when he was through, all the earth was created. All the plant life was created. There was a man in the likeness and the image of God. And all the animal kingdom was arranged and set in order. And God looked on it on the seventh day and said, it was very good. It was finished. All created. All put into place. This is he to whom we have to do. And all things are naked and open unto his eyes.
Right.
And there's not a creature that is not apparent and manifest before him. Now, the devil, he comes along seeing this, and what we find over there in the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah was that his heart was lifted up by his own beauty.
Yeah.
His heart was lifted up by his own wisdom. And he actually said, and I will be as God.
Right.
He sets out. He sets out, and in the Bible tells us he comes to take captives. He led captive a one-third of the angelic host,
right,
who are fallen, and we find are bound in chains of darkness waiting for the judgment of the last day. Bound in chains of darkness. We find, though, that he comes along and he is taking captive all who will listen to him. When you look out here on this world, when you look out here on this world and you see what we're fighting against, we are fighting not with flesh and blood,
right,
Our struggle is not with flesh and blood. Our struggle is with principalities and with powers and with spiritual wickedness in high places. We have the wiles of the devil that we're confronting. We have those who that have been. Here's the condemnation. Hear the word of God. The condemnation is that light came into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why did Cain slay Abel in the beginning? Because Abel's deeds were good and Cain's were wicked. Why? What did we find about the nature of Cain there? Why did he slay his brother? Because he was of that wicked one. 1 John tells us plainly. He puts the tab right on it and says he was under the influence of the devil. And as long as we have, you know what the devil wants and what the devil loves? The devil loves for us to just laugh it off.
Yeah.
Just laugh. Oh, the devil again. Oh, that's the funniest thing I ever heard. Oh, your friend the devil. Well, tell you what, that's as good as he lies.
Yeah.
But you get to trying to do what God would have for you to do, and he shows up and shows you just what his attitude is.
Right.
He stands where God says, come find deliverance. Come find life. The devil comes on the scene, and he says, what about this fruit that I've offered you? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came on the scene, having been baptized of the man sent from God, John, the devil comes along and takes the Lord out and tempts him. His first temptation, he says, the Lord having hungered 40 days and 40 nights, he says, turn these rocks, turn these stones into bread. Christ says, but it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God shall man live. The devil then takes him up into a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And listen to this power. And he says, after he shows him all the kingdoms in the world, he says, if you'll but worship me, I'll give you all of this, all the kingdoms and all the riches of the world. The devil still offering men and women this very same thing.
Amen.
He's offering you. He's got an offer for you. He's got an offer for you. He can offer you all the things in the world. What has God allowed him to have rule of then if he's offering all the things of the world? The world is quickly passing away.
Yep.
We know we're not of the world and that the world is full of wickedness. So says John. Oh, what is it that the devil is really offering when he offers the world? Maybe he's offering reputation. Maybe he's offering position. Maybe he is offering a name. Maybe it's in a job. Whatever it is, he offers it, you guarantee what's behind it, what's in his will, as he wants to keep you in his servitude.
Right.
He's making slaves out of men and women.
Right.
What this is that we do as we serve the Lord, we're slave freers. We're freeing slaves. We're freeing slaves. We're freeing prisoners. The devil's prisoners. And you know what? There are times when we ourselves allow ourselves to get caught in the old snare. To get caught in the snare. That's what we're taught. That's what we're reminded of when Paul writes to Timothy. He says, if any of you are overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, you go to them, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That's Galatians. Yeah. And in chapter 6.
Yeah.
Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he puts it this way. He says this. He says that if the servant of the Lord, now that's another slave. You see, you've got the servants of the Lord, a slave of the Lord, trying to go and free slaves of the devil.
Yeah.
Slaves held captive by the devil. He says, those of you, he said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his own will.
Yeah.
Here's the devil. Sometimes he catches some of us. He'll catch some of us in an error.
Yeah.
He'll catch us. He can catch a whole church.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll catch us. And when we're caught, if we love that thing that we're caught by, what the devil uses to catch us. See, he deals in the heart. Oh, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart, your heart is desperate, desperately wicked. You say, preacher, I got saved. I got saved. I know I'm saved. I thank God for it. Now I hope you'll get serious about serving the Lord so you don't go off and serving the devil. Serving his purpose. You see, the scriptures tell us about an individual who, that individual, the old wicked spirit went out of him, walked through dry places, didn't find any home. So he went and found seven more unclean spirits worse than himself and came back and entered into that individual. And the final state of that man was worse than the first. You know what was missing out of that house? The Lord wasn't in that house.
Amen.
I wonder if you're keeping the Lord in your house all the time. I'm not talking about just being saved. I'm talking about living with the Lord. I'm talking about making your abode with the Lord and staying with Him. See, Peter, he put it this way. He said, but the true proverb is taking place with them. The swine that was washed has returned to her wallowing in the mire. Now, like a hog that got cleaned up and went right on back to the mire. Now, what the devil has got men and women in like a prison cell. You think about this prison cell. Picture it for me. If we were trying to paint the old prison cell that the devil has got people caught in, that prison cell is dark because there's no light in it. What that he's using to hold people in that prison cell? He's using the things of the world. He's using, the scripture says, it's not a mystery. It's right here in the Bible. It tells us what's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Right.
The pride of life. Now, he says these things are of the world, and there are many illustrations in the Bible of how the devil uses this. But he uses these things to hold people's attention.
Right.
That keeps them out there in that cell, in the darkness, and he wants to keep them in love, because this is a love thing. Keeps them in love with these things. I'll bring you back. Here's the condemnation: that light's come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Because they hate the light and they will not come to the light. I wonder if that's why that sometimes people won't come to old-time missionary Baptist churches. Because they come in where the light's at. The light gets declared and it starts reproving the things that they're doing. And you know, if you go get things worked out with the Lord, you feel a lot more at home in the old-time church. If the church is what she's supposed to be, she should be calling sin by its first name and telling you just what that it's going to do to you if you don't turn it loose. Sin is not going to find a comfortable seat in the Lord's house. God, I hope that we never are concerned about making people comfortable in their sins. As long as you're worried about making people comfortable in their sins, you're keeping them in that prison cell. You're helping them stay in that prison cell. You know, all these cells, all these prisons that people are caught in out in the darkness, and the only thing that's keeping them held there is their love for those things there in the darkness, their love for the deeds, their love for the world, their love for the things that the devil has convinced them, and maybe I should stop saying them and start saying you. The things that are keeping you in the darkness and the things that are keeping you in the prison is the things of the world that the devil, in all his wisdom and all his guile, all of that that God gave him from the beginning, but he lifted up in pride and fell because of sin. He's using those things now to keep you away from the Lord. But I've got good news. There's always good news when you're serving the Lord. There's always good news. There's good news, wonderful news. There's a door out. There's a door. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. Jesus said, I'm the gate. Any man who comes to me, any man who will enter in by me will find life. They'll go in and out. They'll find pasture. You're going to find life in Christ, and not only life, but you're going to find abundant life in Christ. Now, let me tell you something else. Christ said over in John chapter 8 and verse 12, he said, whosoever follows me will not find darkness. They'll not stumble along in the darkness, but they'll have the light of life. 1 John put it this way. He says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son cleanseth us from all sin. If any man say he has no sin, he deceives himself, and the truth is not in him. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But if a man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness, and he is the propitiation, not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. This advocate, we come to the bar, and I'm talking about the judgment bar now. We come to the judgment bar, to the, if you will, where the judge is at. The advocate waits for you. That's Jesus. He's wanting to plead your cause. He wants to plead your cause. You've got the devil over in Zechariah and in chapter 3. The high priest known as Joshua. Now Joshua there is in the lineage of the high priest office. Representative there, we find that those high priests, they represented the one high priest, the true high priest, who is Christ. And there, Zechariah, the prophet, he had the scene. God pulled back the veil and let Zechariah see the scene. Here comes Joshua standing before God, and Satan shows up too.
Yeah.
Satan stood up there, and he was there for a purpose, to oppose him.
Right.
He's there to oppose.
Right.
I'm going to ask you this. Why would you ever, ever listen to the opposer? Here you go. You're trying. You lost friends, boys, girls, y'all who are lost. Here's what's going on. The advocate waits. Christ Jesus, the advocate. He's standing there. And the devil is standing there to oppose you.
Right.
He's standing there to accuse, to make false accusations. He brings things up as you are trying to get your case heard before God. You're there and you know that you're guilty. You're guilty. The guilt, the reason that you feel the way you feel the burden of the righteous law of God having been broken, and you have been found the breaker of it. Jesus Christ the righteous has paid your price, and he wants to take your cause before God to get you a clearing. He wants to free you. He wants to bring you out of that. He wants to take you in your captivity. He wants to bring you captive. He wants to bring you to his side. You know what the devil says? The devil, when he opposes, that one of the great things that the devil brings up, and I say great not as in good, but as in a large thing that the devil brings up. Christ says, I will forgive this individual. The devil brings up such things as, well, that individual don't even want to serve you. That's my slave. That's my captive. Look into the heart of that individual. That person don't want to serve you. You can't free them. You can't forgive them because they're not even interested in the things that belong to God. They're still interested in my things, the things of the world. And even though the things of the world are going to burn up one day, they still love them, you see. I'm still painting them in front of them. They're worried that they're going to have to dress a certain way to serve me. They're worried that they're going to have to behave a certain way. They're worried that They're worried that you're going to have them doing things that is going to cause them to not get to do what I would have them do. So he's accusing you. He's accusing you of not wanting to give yourself to God. And what's holding you captive is because you're listening to him.
Right.
And he's actually got a point. He's got a point about you. He's got a reason to keep you captive. As long as you love the things that he has more than the things of God.
Amen.
When you get willing to whatever it takes that you'll come out and serve God, when you get willing and you want to, it's whatever it is. In other words, you're going to trust God. You hear us say that? You hear us say that? What it means is this. You've got to take God at his word, and whatever the path may lead, wherever the path may lead, you've got to believe and trust that wherever God would lead you, it's going to be far better. Whatever is on that road is going to be far better than what the devil is offering you and telling you about in this world. This world, young person, it may not seem to you, it may seem beyond the ability of their mind to comprehend it. But this place that we live in is going away.
Yeah.
This world is quickly passing away.
Right.
We live in a land of the dying.
Yeah.
People are dying every hour of every day.
Man.
We're not going to stay here.
Yeah.
This is a preparing place. This is a preparing place. The devil wants to hold captive and hold in slavery as many as he can. And you know what? If you remain the devil's slave, you're going to go off to a place that was prepared for him and his angels. He's carrying with him that all those who are captives, who are his captives, he's carrying them with him off to hell. That's the place prepared for he and his angels. And all of those who won't break that affiliation with the devil, you're going to be with him in all eternity. Where the worm dieth not,
right,
and the fire is not quenched.
Right.
That's where you're headed, and the devil's leading you there. The devil's leading you there. Brothers and sisters, we should not be surprised that people seem so interested in the devil and where he's leading people, and we shouldn't be shocked that they should look at us oddly if our own lives indicate that we too love the ways of the devil more than the ways of God. If our lives appears that we cannot live without going along with the things of the devil, we are not taking up the Lord's cause. Now, sinner friend, I'm sorry that you don't have better examples than what you've got. I apologize to you that those around you may have left you awful examples about just exactly who it is that you need to serve. But in spite of the example that we have left you, you rest assured you're still going off to that place with the devil if you don't get right with God.
Right.
Break your affinity. Break your love for what the devil offers. Quit listening to what he has to say and come to Christ. He waits. He's waiting for you now. He's waiting right now. Will you keep the Lord waiting? How long will you keep the Lord waiting? He desires you to be freed. Hasn't he showed you how much he wants you to be freed? Hasn't he demonstrated his willingness to free you? When Morgan, when she got saved over there last night, when these others were talking about them getting saved, you heard the example, 7 just the other night, getting saved. What more must Christ do to show you that he is willing to free you right now?
Yeah.
What more must he do? What more must he do? I say again, the Lord is waiting. And I ask you, will you keep him waiting? How long must he wait? How long will you ignore what God has done for you? How long will you ignore? How long will you stay in darkness? How long, Christian friend, how long will you allow yourself to go on as if there is no devil? How long will you allow your conduct and your behavior? How long will you allow yourself to press forward as if there is no war going on? and as if this is not real. How long will you allow yourself to march on? Are you happy with that? Are you content with that? If not, get on the Lord's side.
Yeah.
Get on the Lord's side.
Right.
Break. Come. I ask you, come out of the snares. What is the answer? Submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God, brother, sister. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil.
Right.
He's going to flee.
Amen.
In the book of the Revelation, the war is painted. The picture is painted. The devil is there. And we are painted there too. We are pictured there in the book, in the 12th chapter of the Revelation. And you know how our brothers and sisters, you know how we overcome the old adversary? By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. This blood-bought body stays free by the blood of the Lamb. We have an advocate with the Father. Major, please, asking God, forgive us and free us for Jesus' sake.
Yeah.
Come Jesus' way.
Right.
Won't you come Jesus' way now?
Yeah.
It seems like I can even see it in the eyes of some of you. You want to believe. What keeps you in your seat? Why do you doubt the Lord? Do you doubt your ability? That's good. Because you don't have the ability to do it. Christ has got the ability.
Right.
Trust Him. Oh, what is it? Why do you linger and why do you wait then? Because all the evidence says, this is the victory.
Yeah.
This is the victory. Even our faith. Find the victory in Christ. Victory waits. Victory waits. Victory waits for you now. As we have a song, won't you seek the Lord? God help us all.
Amen.
Number 122. As I journey through this place.